This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank. Focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate.
The cartoonist Matt Groening likes to say that he always knew how he'd spend his career.
I was a hopeless cartoonist who couldn't quite draw well enough, but I knew I was doomed, that I was going to be drawing for the rest of my life, no matter what it was that I was doing to pay the rent.
He may have known he would always draw. He could not have realized that he would pay so much rent with his characters, the Simpsons. That dysfunctional family has been on television in one way or another since the 1980s. They appear this weekend in a movie that plays like a long episode of the TV show, crude, fast-moving, and topical. It is entirely within normal Simpsons behavior that Homer, the family patriarch, pollutes a local lake with pig manure, causes an environmental catastrophe, and finds a lynch mob at his door.
Homer, you have to go out there. Face that mob and apologize for what you did.
I would. I'm afraid if I open the door, they'll take all of you.
No, we won't. We just want Homer.
Well, maybe not you, but they'll kill Grandpa.
I'm part of the mob.
Stay back. I got a chainsaw. Uh-oh.
Somewhere in the absurdity is a long-running commentary on American family life. If you look at the American family of Homer Simpson's creator, you would discover this. Matt Groening's father was named Homer. The cartoonist named his own son Homer. And though he says the Simpsons are not directly modeled on real people, maybe those common names begin to offer an answer to this question. How do you stay interested in these same characters? How do you stay interested in a balding, overweight father with a crayon stuck up his nose who wants the number for 911?
Homer is so much fun to write for because he's this dumb guy, and the writers take great pride in writing the dumbest jokes for him ever. And I don't even remember if this is a Homer line or maybe his friend Barney, but there's one line that sticks in my mind. I don't know if you're up there, but if you are, Superman, please save me. I even said the line wrong, but whatever. Whatever. You know, Homer's great.
You've said in interviews plenty of times before that your early family life was in some way, a twisted way, an inspiration for The Simpsons. Not that your family was that stupid, but that just the terror of being a kid and the weirdness of being a kid came through. I'm curious if your experiences in later years as a parent have in some way influenced what you write on The Simpsons.
Yeah, of course. Well, the conundrum that I face on a daily basis is that I have two sons who have grown up watching The Simpsons, so they know exactly what buttons to push. They know how Bart irritates Homer, and they use these lines against me to tell me that I'm not funny anymore. That's the best way. Oh, Dad, don't even try. Don't say it. Dad, do not joke. Do not joke. For instance, last week in Hollywood, we went to a place called Roscoe's House of Chicken and Waffles.
Okay.
And my son, Homer, said, Dad, which came first, the chicken or the waffle? And I said, hey, that's a good joke. And he said, no, it's a bad joke. That's the kind of joke you would laugh at. That's why I told it. You're an idiot.
That's subtle.
And then my younger son, he's telling me that Family Guy is the hot show and that Simpsons is over. He goes, Dad.
Oh, the other animated, or one of the other.
Yeah, Family, shows. Yeah. And Seth MacFarlane he created Family Guy. And my son Abe likes to say he wishes Seth MacFarlane. This is how he puts it. He goes, I wish Seth MacFarlane was my dad.
Oh. Which reflects something that actually does show up in this movie that is now out.
In
Bart wishes
Simpsons
he had a different
movie.
Dad.
He wishes he had a different dad. He wishes Flanders were his dad, which is highly unlikely when you think about it. But for the purposes of our movie, that's the story.
And we should mention, for those who don't watch the show, this is the Simpsons neighbor, who is a devout Christian and about as straightforward a human being as you could ever meet.
Ned Flanders was just the next-door neighbor. Old-fashioned sitcoms always had the next-door neighbor. We wanted to give Homer a next-door neighbor who annoyed him, but for whom Homer had no real good reason to be annoyed, that this was actually a really decent neighbor. And he wasn't originally a devout Christian. That gradually became part of his character. And then it was fun to not go for cheap shots with this character.
Do you think it's important to do that?
I think there's so many cheap shots you can take. There are certain kinds of jokes that we don't do on the show because we could, but they're easy. And the idea of making fun of the uptight Christian neighbor would be too easy.
But building a joke around a giant silo of pig crap, that was hard.
I'm not particularly proud of that. Well, I'm proud. I'm proud of everything.
I'm thinking about other cartoon characters or comic characters that have lasted for decades. I mean, you think about Charles Schulz drawing Charlie Brown, and he's the same simple kid with the same round head, and he's constantly having the football pulled away from him, and you wonder what subtle thing it is that Charles Schulz kept getting that kept him interested in that kid for decade after decade after decade. I mean, I don't know if you have any insight into that or any insight into what it is about Bart, say, that keeps you interested year after year after year.
Well, Charles Schulz is a really interesting case. He wrote that comic strip and drew it himself from beginning to end, and it's a work of genius. It's very simply drawn, but it has some really deep emotions that you don't expect in a silly-looking comic strip. And I think that people really, really resonate to the idea of darker emotions in something that is considered a very light medium. I would think that I'm not comparing The Simpsons to Peanuts in any other way, except to say that we are also very simply drawn, and we deal with some darker emotions. With Charlie Brown, it was about loneliness and isolation. I always thought that the thing about Charlie Brown in those characters was the absence of the parents. Half the strip was about who wasn't there. The parents were never in the picture. The Simpsons is about alienation and the ambivalence of living with a family who you love but who drive you completely crazy.
Well, good night, son.
Dad?
Yeah?
What is the mind? Is it just a system of impulses, or is it something tangible?
Relax. What is mind? No matter. What is matter? Never mind.
Thanks, Dad.
Good night, son.
That's an early version of The Simpsons, who are in theaters tomorrow. They were created by Matt Groening, who explains the research he did to create them at NPR.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Monte. My producer, Jim Bickle, loves this.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.